Alright, I will say good morning, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors this morning. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar. To thank Stephen Terry Zinn for dedicating all the Shurim and Drushos this month in honor of their newest grandson, Matan Shmuel Aaron. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this young man grows to be an incredible Ben Torah. Amen ve'esim shanim tovos. To thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Haley and Ari Lichterman, in memory of Haley's mother, Rachel Leah, Bas Ruvain Meir Zichron Leracha. May all of our learning provide an aliyah for her neshama and a nechama for her family. And to thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Michael and Rachel Leibowitz, for dedicating the Shir Le'ili Nishmas, Michael's mother, Rus Bas Harav Avi Ezri Avram. Zichron Leracha, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. With that, let us begin. We have an incredible Daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chav Ches 28. We left off yesterday. We almost finished the Mishnah. We left off at the last Bo Bayom, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom, right at the two dots. Bo Bayom, on that day. So remember again, as we discussed in yesterday's Mishnah, or in yesterday's Shir, same Mishnah, right? Ultimately, again, Bo Bayom refers to that day when there was a dramatic change in leadership between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. The doors of the Beis Medrash were thrown wide open, and there was just an incredible proliferation of Torah study. And again, what was incredible is, apparently, both people who were in the Beis Medrash previously, as well as those who were barred previously, everyone experienced an incredible hisorus. Actually, Moshe Abramson pointed this out to me at the end of yesterday, that, you know, Rabbi Akiva is quoted as coming up with some of these additional drushas. Now, bepashtos, Rabbi Akiva was inside the Beis Medrash, right? He was allowed in, even under Rabbi Gamliel's rule. But interestingly enough, despite that, even Rabbi Akiva experiences an aliyah in his learning when the masses and the throngs of people come in. See, it's not just those who are barred entry who maybe suffered a little bit in their learning. But again, we all know this. When do we learn better? I learn better when there's a chevra, right? I learn better when there's a group. I learn better when I'm surrounded by my chaverim. Whether they're good learners as I am, better learners than I am, Lamaisa, there is a certain shefa, there's a certain bracha that comes about when Klal Yisrael is together in the Beis Medrash. In any event, so the Mishnah goes on. Bo Bayom Darsh Rabbi Yishuv ben Hyrcanus. On that day, Rabbi Yishuv ben Hyrcanus darshan the following. Lo Avad Iyov HaSekadosh Baruch Hu Elam Me'ava. Iyov only served Hashem from out of love. Shene Emar. Hein Yikteleni Lo Ayachel. So we'll say, so the pasuk literally again that they're quoting over here is the pasuk, of course, from Iyov. And the pasuk reads, well, the way we're going to read it right now is, Hein Yikteleni, even had HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken my life, lo, for him I would yearn. For him I would yearn. V'adayin adar shakolo, but still, when you read this pasuk, it's still not clear. Ani mitzapa, o eini mitzapa. Now, I will say, here's what's interesting. So the Lashon is, Hein Yikteleni, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to take my life, Lo ayachal. Now, lo is spelled lamed vav, but again, it's vocalized the same way that what? The lamed aleph, which is no. So what is Iyov saying? Is Iyov saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you were to take my life, I would wait for you, I would yearn for you, or I wouldn't yearn for you? Talmud lomar, ad egva lo asar tumasi mimeni. Lamed. So therefore, again, the next pasuk says, until I die, my yearning for you will never expire. Melamed Shemi Ava Asa is to teach us ultimately again that when Iyov served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Iyov served out of love. Amar Rabbi Yeshua said, Mi Egala Afar Me'enech Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, literally, if only the dust were removed from your eyes, meaning if only you could come back from the dead, if only you could see what's happening over here, Shayisa Dorish Kol Yamecha, Shalo Avad Iyov Es HaMakom El Meira. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you used to teach all of the time that Klal Yisrael only served, I'm sorry, that Iyov only served HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Yira, from fear, from reverence, Shine Emar, Ish Tam V'yasha Yirei Elokim V'sar Me'ira V'halo Yoshua Tamid Tamidecha B'yet Yoshua. Rabbi, right? But yet, ultimately, again, but Yoshua, the Talmud of your Talmud, just learned Lamed Shemi'ava Asa. Ultimately, just learned that, in fact, Eov did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of fear, but rather Eov served HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. So I will say, so incredible again, but we'll discuss, obviously, each of these things in greater depth. But first of all, just an incredible, incredible insight, an incredible window into that day, that Bo Bayom, when Torah so dramatically changed for all of Klal Yisrael. Simply give people the opportunity. I will say, you know, the Musar Haskell is, sometimes in life, all you have to do is open the door for other people and they will accomplish great things. Open the door, make them feel welcome, put out the benches, roll out the red carpet, and people will show you their ability to accomplish magnificent things. Good. Back to the Gemara. Oso Leman. So remember again, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. This was a one-daf Mishnah. One that's a long one. So I'll say, now listen to this. Remember, how did all of this start? So all of it started because the Mishnah said that the same way that the waters check her, the waters check him. The waters check him. So we'll say, remember again, so the Gemara says, Oso Leman. Who's the him? Who's the him that we're talking about? Ilim Labal. If we say that when the waters check her, so the waters check the husband to make sure that he is free of sin as well. So Baal my Ovid. But one second, to be fair, the husband didn't do anything over here. Right? It's not the husband. In other words, maybe the husband's not the best guy for doing this to his wife. Right? But Lamaisa, he didn't commit an Aveira. So V'chi Teima, perhaps you'll say, top of Chavches, Di'i Ispe Avon, Bad Gilei Maya. So we'll say, so maybe you'll say Lamaisa, well, maybe it's saying like this. The husband is accusing his wife of immorality. So maybe what the waters do is the waters, the same way the waters check her for immorality, the waters check him for immorality. In other words, right, what's the expression? People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? So Lamaisa, person's going to bring his wife to this process, and again, subject her to the sota process, which I'm going to both say, you know, no matter how you slice it, right, it's a degrading and humiliating process. And by the way, just as what have we learned? What have we learned throughout this Gemara? It's designed that way. In other words, it's designed that way. The process is debasing and humiliating because, again, the goal is that no one should ever have to experience it. That's the goal. So maybe you'll say, Lamaisa, same way the waters check her for morality, the waters will check him as well. One second, if the husband himself is an immoral individual, the waters don't work. The waters don't work on her. We learned this very well. Say, Vahatanya, we learned. Vahatanya. We've actually seen a reference, we'll see it again later on. Vinika ha'ishmi avon. Ultimately, again, the man is cleansed from sin. Va'isha ha'hi tisa es avona. And the woman, ultimately, again, will bear her sin. So Rebbe said there is a direct correlation and relationship between the husband's personal piety and the wife's culpability. To teach us, bizman sha'ish menuka me'avon, ha'main bod kines ishto. When the man himself is free of sin, Rebbe said, when we say free of sin, just to be clear now, we're going to clarify this. Because, for example, if you look at Rashi understands over here that being free of sin, he says, Shalo ba'aleha, tap Rashi, b'zman sha'isha menuka me'avon, sha'ish me'avon, shalo ba'aleha mishenasra alav, ha'isha yitzav savana. So Rashi understands it in a very specific way, talking about that he did not have relations with his wife since she became a sota. But we'll actually see that we could broaden this a little bit more to actually focus on some other pieces as well. So we'll say, but the idea being that Allah says, in order for the waters to work on the woman, the husband himself has to be in a state of piety, personal piety. Can't mean free of any sin, because no one is free of every single sin. So the Gemara says, Bizman she'ish menukam avon, hamayin bod kines ishto. When the man is free of sin, so ultimately the water checks his wife. So bizman, if the man, however, is not free of sin, ultimately, again, so the waters will not check his wife. So therefore, I will say, let's take a step back. So therefore, the oso in the Mishnah can't really refer to the husband. right? Because again, if the husband himself has some degree of liability or culpability, the waters don't work on her. The waters simply don't work on her. In other words, in order for the waters to work on her, he himself has to be in a state of piety, which I will say is also an incredible yisod, which is in life, whatever standard you're going to, we've spoken about this before, the best approach is don't expect anything of anyone. Don't really, just don't live your life with expectations of other people. That's the best way. But if you're going to have expectations of other people, whatever you expect of someone else, make sure that what? You hold yourself to that very same expectation. Right? And that's the Musar Haskel over here. Husband, you're going to bring your wife ultimately again to Beis Din and subject her to this process ultimately again because she's acting immorally. That's fine. Just make sure that you hold yourself to the same standard of morality that you're holding someone else. Let's say it's an incredible yisod because so often in life, whether I realize it or not, we hold other people like to the highest standard, but yet we're so willing to give ourselves a pass on so many different things. So of course, the lechatchila in life is, don't expect things from people. Best thing in the world. Don't expect things from people. Then when they do something, it's fantastic. But don't live your life expecting things. But if you are going to have expectations and hold people to standards, make sure you hold yourself to the very same ones. That the boss. Therefore, it must be that ultimately, again, it's to the boel. That the oso in the Mishnah is talking about the adulterer. That the same way that the waters go ahead and check her, the waters check him, him being the suspected adulterer. So if that's the case, we'll say, so then why doesn't the Mishnah write it symmetrically? Listen, kidiktani seifa. We'll say, what does it say at the end of the Mishnah? Kishim shasur lebal, kach asur leboel. The end of the Mishnah says, the same way that this woman, if she is guilty, is asura to her husband, she is also asura to the adulterer. Now, both say, at the end of the Mishnah explicitly says, Boel. So if that's the case, why not say in the beginning of the Mishnah, Kishim shamayin bodkin osa, kachamayin bodkin es ha-boel. In other words, why not just be explicit and articulate what you really mean instead of saying oso, which by definition is an ambiguous term. Liolam leboel. Sigmar says, you're right. But still, oso is referring to the adulterer. And what the Mishnah is saying is the same way that the waters ultimately check her, so the waters check him, the adulterer, as well. Bereisha, aidi detana osa, tani oso. Seifa, aidi detani baal, tani boal, tana boal. So once I say that, essentially the answer is, it's just a question of textual symmetry. Since ultimately, again, the beginning of the Mishnah, since the beginning of the Mishnah says osa, kishem shamayim bodkin osa, so therefore again, symmetrically it says osa. End of the Mishnah says, or Sefer the Mishnah says, the same way that she is a surah to the Baal, she's also a surah to the Boel. Good. So we'll say, but bottom line for our purposes, is first halacha in the Mishnah is the same way that the warders check the woman, they also check the suspected adulterer. And I will say that is how the Rabban paskins. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Now, there are things, we'll get into this more. There are things where if the husband engages in certain behaviors, ultimately it prevents the waters from taking effect. So Rashi already pointed out over here that, for example, if he has relations with her after she is a sota, remember, again, I will say, it's interesting. At what point is she a sota? At what point is she a sota? So after stira, right? In other words, the moment she violates the warning, and ultimately, again, is alone with a particular man for the amount of the particular man about whom she was warned about, for a particular amount of time in which something could have occurred, she becomes a sota. She becomes a sota. So the mice, again, if he has eaten, at that point, she is a surah to him until she drinks the waters, which then clarify her guilt or innocence. It is usur for him, to her husband, to have relations with her after she has become a sota, before her innocence or guilt is proven. If he does, the whole process is done, right? At that point in time, there's no sota process. The waters will not work. The waters will not work. Now, what we will discuss a little bit later on in Mam Zayin is whether or not other forms of husband's sinful behavior could shut down the water as well. So that we'll discuss. But Lamaisa, for our purposes today, what the Mishnah teaches us is the same way that the waters check her, the waters check the adulterer as well. Next, Ibaylahu. Bo'u ba'u ka'amar. Now, I say, now remember again, what was the drasha? So now we said the halacha. What was the drasha? The drasha was, back in the Mishnah, shneimar u bo'u, right? It uses the lashon of u'bo'u twice. Well, we'll see actually what the drasha is. But it says u'bo'u, the waters will come into her twice. Why twice? So we're darshaning one for her, one for the bo'el, right? So she drinks it, one, right? So the water has an impact on her, the water has an impact on the adulterer. So Gemara says the follows, Ibailu, bo'u u'bo'u ka'amar, or u'bo'u u'bo'u ka'amar. Both say, this is actually interesting. What's the drasha? What's the drasha? Right? Is the drasha that it says, bo, ubo, is the drasha the extra vav? Is that what we're dashing over here? The American will say, it could have just said bo without the vav. So the extra vav is the source of the drasha, which tells me that the waters check the husband as well. Or, ubo, ubo, come on. Or is it just the double lashon of bo? In other words, we'll say, we're going to see, it's a nuanced question. Are we dashing the vav? Or we're darshaning the word. So the Gemara says, Tashma, so let's analyze this. Kishim, you'll see why this makes a difference in just a moment. Kishim she'asur lebal, kach asur leboel. The same way that she is asura to the husband, she's also asura to the adulterer. Kishene'emar nitma'a v'nitma'a. The pasuk says, nitma'a v'nitma'a, nitma'a twice. V'adayin tiboy. Now we'll say now, again, you still have the same question. Nitma'a, nitma'a ka'amar. O nitma vinitma akamar. So we are left with the same question. Are we darshaning a double expression or are we darshaning a vav? Right? Darshaning a vav. So we say, this is actually one of these situations where everyone is agreeing on the result of the drasha. Right? There's no machlokis about the halacha. The question is, how are we arriving at that? What are the mechanics of the drasha? So Tashma, let's analyze. Midik Tani Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, Shnei Pamim Ha'amurim B'Parasha V'Nitma'a V'Nitma'a. It says two times in the Parasha V'Nitma'a V'Nitma'a. She'll be right, she became defiled. Echel Abal V'Echel Aboel. Right, one V'Nitma'a teaches me that she is Asura to the husband, and the other V'Nitma'a teaches me that she is Asura to the adulterer. So the Gemara says, Michlal, now I will say, the fact that Rabbi has his drasha of V'Nitma'a V'Nitma'a, and Rabbi says explicitly, because it says the word twice, what could we infer from that? Michlal de Rabbi Akiva Vavi Kadarish. It sounds like Rabbi said that according to Rabbi Akiva is not really darshaning the double expressions, but rather Rabbi Akiva is darshaning are the vavs. Remember again, a vav is often extra, but vav is often used as a ribui, as a way to include something else. So if Rabbi is darshaning the double expressions, Rabbi Akiva must be darshaning the vavs. Hilchach, Rabbi said, this is actually very interesting. Hilchach, Rabbi Akiva, Shisa Kroi Ksivi. So we'll say, now watch this. This is actually fascinating. So according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, we'll say, it turns out that you actually have six words to darshan. Now we'll say, why? We'll see what this means. Rabbi Akiva darshan's vav. So we'll say, if you look, you see Rashi, Shisa Kroi. See that Rashi, right-hand column, at least in my version, it's right across from the Hagos Habach. I don't know if it's like that in your Gemara as well. She's a rabbi. I'll say, watch this. She's a cry. Shlosha uba'u k'suvim sham. Rabbi said, the Torah records the word uba'u three times in the section of Sotah. And I remember again, Rabbi said, so according to Rabbi Akiva, a vav is something you darshan. If you have three uba'us, Rabbi said, what does that give you? That gives you six drasha items. Why six? Why six? Three ba'us, right? And what? Three vavs. Three vavs. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, from three uba'us, you actually have six drushas you can make. Watch this. Back to the Gemara for just a moment. Rabbi Akiva, Shisa Kreik Sivi, Chalet Sava Dida, Vichalet Sava Didei. So, I will say, actually, take a look at Rashi. Let's look at this first in Rashi, then I'll read in the Gemara. It's important, Rashi. Shisa Kreik, Shlosha Bog, Suvim Sham. It says the word uba'u three times. Uba'u Amaim Hama Arima Ha'ele Bemecha, Lispos Boten, Lodia Lanu. So we'll say now, watch this. So why do you have three ubos? So number one ubo is litzava. I'm reading this first in Rashi. Tzava is Shakadosh Baruch Hu goes to Shiyavu Bahamayim Lemarim. So we'll say one is where Hakadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol commands that the waters are going to work. Right? The second bo la'asiyah is to tell you ultimately again the process, ultimately for Sota, v'hishkesamayim v'haysem nitma lasia kan hodia hakasav es yisrael demavtiach l'anshiv dekenu. The third ubo is to ultimately inform Klal Yisrael, ultimately again that the waters are going to work in a particular way. So we'll say, so three words, sava, ultimately again is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, so to speak, that the waters work in a particular way. Asiya, the process, and Hodiya is ultimately where Klal Yisrael is informed about how things are going to unfold. So back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Akiva therefore has six drushes he can make. Here we go. Chad, l'tzava dida, v'chal l'tzava didei. So I will say, one is the tzava, that ultimately, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands that the waters will enter. One is for her, right, the Isha Soda, and one is for him. The him being, the Boel, the adulterer. Next, Chad la'asiya dida, v'chad la'asiya didei. One, ultimately, one bo is to teach me the asiya, the process for her, and one is the process for him. And last, v'chad li'yediya dida, v'chad li'yediya didei. And one, ultimately, again, is the hodah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that the waters are going to work in a particular way. One is for her, one is for him. Okay, so this is the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Six drashas. So we'll say, in essence, it's three drashas, but again, each drasha has a track for her and a track for him. Incredible. For Rebbe, it's lost like Reich Seed. Now we'll say, Rebbe doesn't darish involve. So according to Rebbe, you don't have six drashas. What do you have? Three. Why three? Three ubos. He doesn't dash in the vav. Rebbe, tlasa kraik sidi. Chad l'tzava, v'chad l'asiya, v'chad l'yediya. I must say now, remember, it's the same three drushas, just Rebbe doesn't have the three tracks, right? Or I should say the two tracks for each drusha. So one is to teach me ultimately, again, one is the tzava, because Baruch Hu commanded that the water is going to enter her and work a certain way. Second is asiya, the actual process itself. And hodah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael how things are going to work. V'Rebbe, Kishim Shamayim Bolt Kinosa, Kach Bolt Kinosa Minale. Shabbos say, here's the problem. According to Rabbi Akiva, the extra vav by each word allows me to dash in each stage of the process for her and for him. But Rebbe, who doesn't dash in vav, he only has three words to dash in. Bo. And again, for the three processes for her, from where does Rebbe know that the same process works for him? Where does he know that? So Manale, Nafgale Midisanya. Ultimately, again, he learns that from the following. Litzbos Baten, Falan Pil Yarech. So we'll say the Pasuk says, ultimately, Litzbos Baten, literally, again, the stomach will swell and the thigh will fall, distend. Right? So the Gemara says, fall. So the Gemara says, what does this refer to? Bitno of Yerecho Shal Boel. Wow, fascinating. This actually refers to the stomach and the thigh of the adulterer. Of the adulterer, telling us, Rosai, that not only does the adulterer share in the fate of the Isha Sota, but what? It's the same fate. In other words, it's the same punishment. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ata omer bitna v'irecha shal boel, o eno ela bitna v'irecha shal niv eles. I don't understand. Why would you darshan this as referring to the stomach and the thigh of the adulterer? Doesn't it make sense that it's talking about her, the adulteress, the woman? Kishu Omer Vitsav Sabitna Vinafla Yerecha. Then Abba said, because there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, her stomach will swell and her thigh will fall. So Abba said, that's already stated beforehand. Hari Bitna Vierecha Shalivala. So Abba said, we've already spoken about her once already. So the Gemara says, Umani Makayim Litzos Baten Velan Pil Yerecha. So Abba said, why would it have to say the second time? Why would it have to say ultimately? I will say, and by the way, if you notice, by the way, it's also interesting because the first time it's written in the feminine. V'tzivsa bitna v'nafla yirecha. So that refers to her. Why does it have to say the second time? And this time it doesn't phrase it in the feminine. Umani mekayim litzos v'alta melam pil yarech bitno v'yirecho shel boel. This refers ultimately again to the stomach and the thigh ultimately of the boel, of the adulterer. So I will say, so again, I just want to clarify something. Remember, there's no machlokes in halacha over here, right? Remember, again, this is one of these nice gemaras where everyone is agreeing, right? Everyone is agreeing. Remember, we've already established, kishem shamayim boltkin oso, kach hamayim boltkin oso, right? The same way that the waters check her, the waters check him. We've established who's the him, to him is the Boel, to him is the adulterer. So that we've already established. Now we're just trying, now, according to Rabbi Akiva, who darshens Vav, Rabbi Akiva's got it made, right? It lines up so beautifully. Six drushas, three uba'os for each part of the process. The extra Vav allows you to darshen it again for whatever applies to her, ultimately again applies to him. Rebbe, however, doesn't darshan Vavs. Where does he learn it out from? So now we've established, he learns out from the phrase, Lan Pil Yerech, excuse me, Litz Bos Baten V'Lan Pil Yerech. Right, so again, so now everybody's on the same page, just different drushas. V'idach, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with the phrase, Litzpos Baten V'Lan Pil Yerech? Right, remember, Rabbi Akiva does not need that drusha to teach me that the process applies to the boel, right? Why? Because unless he dashed in the vavs, So what does he need that phrase for? The moda la koin, the beten beresha, vahadar yerech, shalaholtzi laz amayla marim. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that second pasuk, that second phrase of latzbos baten v'lam pil yerech is actually a phrase that teaches me the Kohen explicitly explains to the woman the process of the mei sota and tells her exactly how the waters are going to work. They're going to first affect your stomach, then they're going to affect your thigh. In order that she should understand the process, or she has the process, and she should understand how the mei sota will work. Incredible. V'idach, according to Rebbe, so why doesn't he dash in the pasuk that way? Imkein lichtov kra, bitna v'yirecha. If that's the case, again, let the pasuk be phrased as her stomach, her thigh. My baten v'yirech. So why does it just say thigh and stomach and thigh? Shema min alaboel. Therefore, again, it's clear that it's talking about the adulterer, not talking about her. I ve'ema kulei lahachi huda asa. Shabbos say, why don't we say that the entire pasuk comes to teach me that the boel is included ultimately again in the punishment? Imkein lichtov bitno v'yirecho. If that's the case, Rabbi, then it should have phrased it in the masculine possessive. His stomach, his thigh. Why does it just say baten v'yerech? Shma mina tarti. Ultimately, Rabbi say, because the pasuk is actually teaching me two things. What are the two things I'm being taught from in the pasuk, Rabbi say? Number one is teaching me that the same way that the waters impact her, the waters impact him. Number two, what does it teach me? That ultimately, again, there is a seder ha'onesh. There is a seder in the way that the waters impact her. First they impact the stomach, then they impact the thigh. So therefore, I will say again, so it's that duality in the pasuk, that's why it's phrased as beten and yerech, as opposed to bitno and yerecho. So I will say, so halacha l'maisa, what comes out over here is, like I said, everyone's agreeing that, sorry, everyone is agreeing that the same way that the waters impact her, the waters impact him. The only machlokes ultimately is in the nature of the drasha that allows us to get to this result. Good. Tanrabanan. So we'll say, so I'm sorry, I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Kach eyodorish tichari. Tanrabanan. Shalosh pamim hamurim beparsha. Im nitma'a, nitma'a, v'nitma'a. Shabbos says, so the pasuk, right, three times in the parish of Sota, Torah uses lashon of nitma. She becomes defiled. Right? So why do I need these three lashonos? Right? Nitma, nitma, v'nitma. Lama, echelabal, ve'echelaboel, ve'echelatshuma. So what's very interesting? One is the teaching that she is asura to the husband. Second is the teaching that she is asura ultimately to the adulterer. And third is the teaching that she is asura to truma. Now, both say, now what this would be referring to if she is the wife of a Kohen, or the daughter of a Kohen. Now look at Rashi for just a moment, because it's very important. Ve'echa l'truma, shafidu hi bas Kohen, ubay l'Kohen, nifsal min ha'truma. Now I want to point something out. When is she asura to truma? Right? When is she asura for truma? When does this isser begin? Remember, this isser is immediately upon becoming a sota. Right? So remember again, the moment she violates the warning and she is secluded with the man about whom she was warned about, for the amount of time in which something could have happened, she becomes a sota. That's it. Right then and there, she's a sota. And in that moment, she's a surah b'truma. Let's say, obviously, if she drinks the water, right, and she begins to degrade. So the man is saying, of course she has rubbish because she's an adulteress, right? And if she comes out innocent, she's mutaras b'truma. So what we're talking about over here is from the moment that she becomes a sota, she violated the warning, she's in a state of suffix, right? We don't know. Did she commit adultery? Did she not commit adultery? She is asura to consume truma from that moment until the waters go ahead and give us clarity. Incredible. So the Gemara says, good. Do Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Kal v'chomer. It's true. It's kal v'chomer. It's kal v'chomer. Uma grusha shemuteres l'truma asur l'kahuna. So a grusha ultimately again. We'll say now a grusha is muteres for truma. Now what does it mean a grusha is muteres for truma? Here's the case. If you have a Bas Kohen who married a Yisrael and now she gets divorced from her husband, assuming that what? There are no children. Halacha lemaaseh says she can go back to her father's home and she could go ahead and eat truma. So that's a grusha. That's a grusha. Ultimately, again, it was permitted in truma. Say thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so sorry about you. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Yehi Bidvaro.
Amen.
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much. So the Gemara says as follows. So this kavachomer, the kavachomer, uma grusha shemutaras l'truma asur l'kahuna. So a grusha, ultimately again, who is permitted to eat truma, right? She's permitted to eat truma after her divorce, return to her father's home. Yet she is asur to the kahuna. Zu shasur b'truma eno din shasur l'kahuna. This woman, this sota, who is asur to truma, certainly can't marry into the kuna. Now, both say the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to try to understand what is this. Right? Rabbi Akiva is not talking about this. Rabbi Shmuel is responding to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is talking about the fact that a sota is asurati to truma, and Rabbi Shmuel brings a kavachomer that says that ultimately a sota can't marry into the kuna. So the Gemara is going to ask, what are you talking about? But let's shelve that for now. What does the pasuk mean when it says she was defiled and she wasn't defiled? Im nitma, if she's tamea, right? If she did commit adultery, then lama shosa, the wine should she drink? I was going to say, if we know that a woman committed adultery, there's no drinking of sota water. Im lo nitma, if she is not, she did not commit adultery, lama mashka, then why would you give it a drink? The Rishon said, magivacha kasov shasafek asura. Rabbi say this is incredible. What the Torah is trying to convey to us, Rabbi say is, what is the status of a sota? Remember again, Rabbi say, I want to be clear. When we talk about a sota is a woman who has violated the warning given to her by her husband. What is her status? Her status, Rabbi say, is safek. But yet we see, how do we deal with her safek? Asura. Rabbi say, essentially, the sota is treated as an adulteress until proven innocent. Right? That, in other words, from a halachic perspective, obviously, we're not doing anything to her. The waters are going to figure out her guilt or her innocence. But Lamaisa, from a status perspective, we look at her as asura. Magilcha kosov shasafek asura. So the way we look at her, the way we look at her now, in this moment after she violated the warning, is she is asura. Now, I will say this actually yields a very interesting halachic conclusion. Mikan atodan l'sheretz. So I will say it's actually interesting. From here, you could actually learn out the sheretz. I will say sheretz is the tumah associated again with creepy, crawly things. So the Gemara says, "Mat, listen to this. Uma sota shelo asaba shogeg kemezid va'onis kiratzon." So also, when it comes to sota, shogeg is not like mezid, right? And ones is not like rason. Meaning what Rabbi was saying, you know, if a woman was violated or coerced, right, or was a shogeg, right, lamaisa, that's not sota. Sota is only chayeves if she's intentional. Yet Asabas safek kivadai. Yet Rabbi say, interestingly enough, once she is a sota, she's still in a state of safek until the waters clarify what her status is. But yet halachically, we treat her as vadai. Vaharaya, she's not allowed to eat truma. She's not allowed to eat truma. Sheretz sha'asabo shogei kemezid va'onis karatzon. Rabbi say, when it comes to tuma sheretz, does it matter if you contact the sheretz, you come in contact with the sheretz, right? B'shogeg or b'mezid ba'onis u'baratzon, does that matter? No. In other words, if you touch the sheretz, you're tamei. Yet, we'll say, ein odin, sheyaseh bo safek kevadai. Certainly, again, when it comes to Tumas Sheretz, then ultimately, again, Safek is treated like Vadayezah. So, once you hear the Kav HaChomer, the Kav HaChomer is like this. When it comes to Sota, so Shogeg is not like Mezid, Ones is not like Ratz. In other words, by Sota, there is only a Chiyuv, if Halacha L'Maisa, it's intentional. Yet, even by Sota, where Shogeg is not Kemezid, Ones is not Keratzon, yet what? Safek is treated like Vada. Again, I want to say, just to be clear, what does it mean that by Sota, Safek is treated Kivada? What does that mean? That means is, from the moment she becomes a Sota, i.e., she violated the warning, she was alone with this man, we treat her, here's what's interesting, to say a little bit differently, by Sota, it's almost as if you're guilty until proven innocent. You're guilty, in other words, status-wise, you're guilty until proven innocent, which makes sense, because the Maaseh says what we call in halacha, raglayim ledavar. There's strong circumstantial evidence that something has gone down over. So from a status perspective, you are now guilty. The way Rabbi Akiva is seeing that manifests itself is that if she is the wife of a Kohen, she can't eat Truma. So therefore, again, by Sheretz, where Ones is Kiratz, it doesn't matter how you contract Tumas Sheretz. It wasn't an accident against you. Somebody shoved a Sheretz in your mouth, you know, whatever, or into your hand, right? L'maisa, again, that's Ones. You're still Chayiv, or not Chayiv, you're still Tameh. Certainly, again, we would make Safek Kivadai. Therefore, what that would mean is, if you're not sure if you came in contact with the Sheretz or not, what should be the halacha? You should be tamei. Because ultimately, again, Safek is like Vadai. Good. Top of Chaf Chesam Beis, 28b, first line. Umakam Shabbos. They will say, remember, whenever you make a Kav HaChomer, it's interestingly enough, what you could always do, I will say, is Kav HaChomer could work both ways. Makam Shabbos is you're learning out Sheretz from Sota, so we can reverse it also. Makam Shabbos, Mas Sota. So first of all, take a look at Rashi. O Makam Shabbos, Choyo Velo Lamarta, Dematminon Misafek Ela Misota, Choser Vedun. All right, so back to the Gemara's reading side first. Makam Shabbos, Mas Sota Roshos Hayachid, Af Sheretz Roshos Hayachid. I will say, so let's analyze a bit more. Just like Sota, where does Sota apply? Sota only applies in Rosh Hashayachid. What does it mean Sota only applies in Rosh Hashayachid? The only way to become a Sota is how? Stira. Stira has to occur where? In Rosh Hashayachid. As I was saying, if a woman is in practice, right? Let's say Reuven warns Rachel not to be alone with Shimon, right? And Reuven and Rachel stands with Shimon for 2 hours in Rosh Hashayachid. Is she a Sota? She has Sota? No. In other words, she's only a Sota if it's Rosh Hashayachid, if you're secluded. Sumas Sota Rosh Hashayachid, just like Sota ultimately again only occurs in Rosh Hashayachid, Av Sheretz Rosh Hashayachid. Sota Rabbi said, when we speak about that a Safek Sheretz is Tameh, when is a Safek Sheretz Tameh? Rabbi said, when? Only in Rosh Hashayachid. Only if the Safek arose in Rosh Hashayachid. Now take a look at that Rashi. Umakum Shabbos. Horil velo lamarta dematminon misafek ela misota chazer vidun. Go back and judge. Dimas sota hadit me misafek brishus hayachid hamakom roi lisaser af tuma brishus hayachid svekotam avushtam tar. So I'll say that's fine. In other words, if you want to make the drasha, and you want to say that just like halacha lamaisa, so sota. Where we don't make Safek Kivadai or Ones Keratzon, but yet what? Halacha L'maisa, Safek is Kivadai. So to Sheretz, where we do say Ones Keratzon, right? We'll also say Safek Kivadai, that a Safek Sheretz, a Safek Tumas Sheretz will be Tameh. That's fine, but we have to learn out then the rest, which is just like Sota only applies Bishos Hayachid, so to the only time that a Safek Sheretz will go ahead and make you Tameh is in Rosh Hashayachid as well. That's all. We're just trying to build out the drasha. I will take it a step further. Umas Sota, Davar Shiyesh Bodas Lishal, and I will say, just like Sota, we're dealing with the situation in Ortho, I will say, Yesh Bodas Lishal, Reisbol Dashi Shalom means what? Means that halacha lemaisa, there is the ability to ask a person what happened. There's the ability to ask a person what happened. Af sheretz davar sheyesh bo das lishal. So to the only safek sheretz, birshus hayochid, that will be deemed tamei is a case of where you have the ability to ask the person what occurred. Now, we'll look at Rashi just a moment. Umasol davar sheyesh bo das lishal, for last white line in Rashi. So he says, im nitmes im lav. Shavos avai sota, do you have the ability to ask the woman, to ask the man, tell me, did you engage in an act of immorality? Do you have the ability to ask them? Yeah, it doesn't mean you're going to get a truthful answer, right? But lamais, you have the ability to ask. Af sofik tuma davar sheyesh bo binogea zed das lishal im naga im lav v'hu omer eini yodea kigon adam otaro shaya adam osik b'han v'shashon al-sofik. So the Gemara is going to say like this. Just like Sota, we're dealing with a case of a Sota. Say, watch all the criteria, right? In order to become Tumea, what does it have to be? It has to be a Safek Tuma Birshus Hayachid and Yeshbo Das Lishal. You have the ability to ask the parties involved what happened. So too, the Gemara wants to say, by Sheretz, the Halacha is going to be the same. It has to be a Safek Tuma where? Birshus Hayachid, and there has to be Yeshbo Das Lishal. It has to be a case where you have the ability to ask the person what happened. So we'll say, that's the case of where there's a... So again, if you meet those three criteria, Safek Tuma, number one, Birshus Hayachid, number two, Yesh Bo Das Lishael, number three. So we'll say, by the way, what's the case of Ein Bo Das Lishael by Safek Sharis Birshus Hayachid? I'll give you a good example. Let's say that you have a pot. Right? And you're not sure, did the sheretz touch the pot or not? Shabbos says, the pot doesn't have das lishal. Right? You can't ask the pot, ultimately, again, what occurred. So that would be an example of a safek tumah, even though it's birshus hayachid, but ein bo das lishal. So Shabbos says, this is actually a fascinating gemara, because what you see happening over here is the gemara is building up a halachic construct, right? And the halachic construct ultimately, again, is from this connection between Sota and Sharis. By the way, we're going to see, in this respect, Sota is going to serve as a paradigm for Hilchos Tumah, not just by Sharis. So Rabbi said, the Gemara says as follows, Mikan Amru, based on this discussion, we say as follows, Davar Sheyesh Po Das Lishael, Birshus Hayochid, Sveiko Tamei. So we'll say, the Gemara says, from here we emerge with a principle. What's the principle? Anytime, I will say, let's work backwards a little bit. Anytime you have a Safek Tumah, and that Safek Tumah is occurring, Birshus Hayachit, in a private domain, and it's occurring in a situation of Yesh Bo Das Lishal, which just simply put means what? Means what? People, not things. Right, so I have a Safek Tumah Birshus Hayochid with a Yesh Bo Das Lishal with people. The Rebbe said, what's going to be the halacha? Sveiko Tameh. The Safek is Tameh. The Rebbe will say, by the way, what's the paradigm for this concept? What's the paradigm? Sota. Because we'll say, what is Sota? Sota is a Safek Tumah Birshus Hayochid, right? We're not sure. Did the woman commit adultery? Didn't she commit adultery? Where is this happening? In Rishus Hayochid. Is Yesh Bo Das Lishal? Why? Why is Yesh Bo Das Lishal? You could ask them. You could ask the people, what? Did you do something? Didn't you do something? And I will say, what does the Torah say? What does the Torah say about that case of Safek Tumah? It's Tameh. It was Rabbi Kiva. Says, how do you know it's Tameh? First of all, how do you know that she's Tameh? Number one, she can't have relations with her husband. Number two, Rabbi Kiva adds on, what else can she do? She can't eat Truma. So I will say, this is incredible. This becomes a paradigm for Tumah. So whenever you have a Safek, so I'm saying in general, I have a Safek Tumah. What do you do with a Safek Tumah? Oh, now I have the criteria. It depends. Right? Number one, what do I have to look at? Location. Location. Where did it occur? So if it occurred in Rosh Hashanah, okay, fine. Number two, right? So that's number one, location. Number two, what do I have to ask? Who did it occur to? Or what did it occur to? If we're talking about utensils, Ein Bo Das Lishal, nothing to talk about. But if it's people, Yesh Bo Das Lishal, then it will be tameh. Let's finish out the principle. V'she'im bo das lishal. And I will say, if we're talking about a suffek tuma that occurred to something that doesn't have the ability, ultimately, again, to be asked, so to speak, doesn't have the ability to converse, then bein birshos hayochid, bein birshos harabim, sfekotar. Ultimately, again, whether that doubt arises in Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hashanah Sikotas, therefore, Rabbi say it turns out. So, Rabbi say this is really an incredible principle for Hilchos Tuma. So, what Sot establishes for us is a dramatic paradigm that any Safik Tuma Bershus Hayachid, with something that she yesh bo das lishael, ultimately, again, is going to be rendered tameh. That was what you could extrapolate from that is. Safek Tuma Birshos Harabim, what's going to be the halacha? Tahar. Right? Safek Tuma with a davar she'ein bo das lishal, that you can't ask, that you can't converse with, what's going to be the halacha? Tahar. And by the way, it doesn't matter if it's Birshos Harabim or Shtiyachin. The only case, this is incredible, the only case of Safek Tuma that remains Tameh is Safek Tuma Birshos Hayachid with a davar she'yesh bo das lishal. Where does this principle ultimately emerge from? Sota. Incredible, I will say. Absolutely incredible. Again, then this becomes the guiding light for Tum and Tara. I will say, Gans Shas. This is it. This is the guiding light to the principle. So let's go back to another line. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Akiva, Chuma, Omahadr Ihu Kahuna. So I will say, remember again, let's go back for just a moment. Rabbi Akiva introduced this whole discussion. Right, had Rabbi Akiva just told us? Because Rabbi Akiva says, Torah says, nitma'a. Why three nitma'as? One, to teach that the sota is asura to her husband. The second, to teach that the sota is asura to the adulterer. And the third, that the sota is asura to, or truma. Right? So Rabbi Shmuel came along and said, remember again, let's just go through the drasha. So Rabbi Shmuel said, it's a kavachomer. If a grusha, which is a bas kohen who married a Yisrael, once she gets divorced from her husband and she doesn't have children, she's allowed to go ahead and eat truma, right? Yet she is asura to the kohen. She can't marry a kohen. This sota, who is asura to truma, certainly can't marry a kohen. So that's fine. But the Gemara says, well, I don't understand what's going on over here. He says, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm Rabbi Akiva truma. Rabbi Akiva is talking about truma, umahavder le'ihu kohuna. And why is Rabbi Shmuel responding ultimately, again, with marrying into the kahuna, right? In other words, what does Rabbi Shmuel's response have to do with Rabbi Akiva? Well, see, I have a conversation like this where you're talking about something and someone says something back to someone who responds something, and you're like, "Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't even know what you're talking about." Like that has nothing to do with the conversation. This happens to me quite frequently. I'm not sure why. I say, but Lamaisa. So the Gemara is saying Rabbi Akiva is talking about truma consumption. And Rabbi Shmuel responds with marrying into the kahuna. So, v'su, Rabbi Akiva, kahuna minale. So we'll say, furthermore, where does Rabbi Akiva learn that ultimately again, that the sota will be asur to the kahuna? Rabbi say, now you'll think to yourself, what's going to be the case of where the sota will be asur to the kahuna? So I was going to tell you this would come up. This would come up in a situation of, imagine Reuven and Rachel, right? So now Rachel's being taken to the Beis Hamikdash to drink the sota waters, and Reuven dies on the way. Reuven guys, obviously, if there's no husband, then what? There's no drinking. So the Maisa, how do we know that in that case, Rachel would be Asura to go ahead and marry into the kahuna? So we'll say, what we'll do is we'll stop over here for today. Right? I'm going to leave you a little bit on the cliffhanger of Rabbi Akiva. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the rest of this, with Rabbi Akiva's statement, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow. But again, I'll say, I just want to point out, what a day. It's always an exciting day when you kind of walk away with the Shas principle, especially a Tum and Tara principle. Let's say, now I just want to tell you, if anyone ever asks you a Safik Tuma Shaila, you are prepared to paskin on Safik Tuma Shaila. So say, it's actually quite simple and straightforward. Everything is measured up by this one principle. If a Safik Tuma, but only if it is Birshus Hayachid and Yesh Bo Das Lishal, it's going to be Tameh. Every other case, ultimately, again, is going to be tar. Incredible. All right, well, so we'll stop over here. Share with you a short idea on Yom HaSmut. I'll stop and start it. Just stop and start? Do I change the title on YouTube or leave it alone? Okay, thank you, Ashley, thank you. I just stopped and started this. Okay. Should I just...
Just hit record and I'll upload it. You don't have to do it again on YouTube.
Yeah?
Yeah, just hit record. I'll
okay, upload it. Perfect. So now we're streaming just recording it. Thank you.